Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed, and we're celebrating that great grace, the amazing, life-changing, total cosmic-changing reality of Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection. He has come truly to make all things new. And that means you and me and our families and all of God's creation in the end will be made new because of what Jesus Christ has accomplished. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program this week, we've been kind of making our way through some key passages, some that are given to us in the readings each day this week in the octave here that we're celebrating, the 8 days of solemnity, of solemn remembrance, solemn celebration. And in our hearts, brothers and sisters, each day in these solemn moments, let your heart sing. Let your heart just cry out to God. Say it out loud. Be like Our Lady. You know, my heart, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Why? Because the Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. You can say that with full throat, full heart, with your whole being, because it is a fact. It's a fact. If you've been baptized into Christ, if you're living in Him and walking in Him, we have so much to rejoice in. And there's so much bad news out there. It's constant bad news. Everybody seems to be pretty free to talk about bad news. We live in the good news. We don't bury our heads in the sand and pretend there is no bad news, but we're not surprised by the bad news. As one famous cardinal said at one point, a disciple should never be surprised when the world acts worldly. The world's going to be the world. The world's going to be fallen. It's going to be corrupt. It's going to do bad stuff. It's a mixed bag. But the people of God, we have a message of good news for everyone. And declaring it from the heart is one of the healthiest things we can do. If you want to drive out discouragement, you want to drive out depression, you want to drive out darkness, you want to drive away the demonic strategies to enslave you, to discourage you, just start declaring the truth. Sing to Him. Give Him praise. I remember in my own family growing up, when a time of conversion and transformation began to happen in my older siblings and trickled down into my life, and God did some amazing things. And my mom, who was a very faithful Catholic our whole life, and rosary, daily rosary prayer, read the Word of God, never missed her prayer time, and just an amazing woman, and just a good mom, just a wonderful mom. She never gave a talk anywhere, I don't think. She wasn't a theological expert, but she loved our Lord, and she loved Our Lady, and she loved the saints. She was animated by the life of God. And then when as a family, we began to really welcome this grace of salvation and deep conversion began to happen, there just was more joy in the house. And there was also speaking the name of Jesus and declaring. I remember my mom at times, she used to just kind of outbursts of joy, of thanksgiving to the Lord. She'd also tell the devil to go to hell, which is awesome. But she was animated. And I used to think about her because I know she loved Our Lady and Our Lady loved Mom. And I often thought in later years, when I'd read the Magnificat or say it, I'd think of my mom, like she was brought into that no matter what, no matter, and she battled cancer and just a lot of hardships in life in different ways, but she really declared the Lord's praises. And that's something we ought to do. There's great power in that. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to do, especially in this season. So yesterday I left off with looking at Peter's preaching that's presented to us in the first readings this week in the octave of Easter. Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost, which is powerful. Now today I'm going to kind of bring together Wednesday's reading and today's reading, where Peter and John, this is after the day of Pentecost, Jewish people are coming to believe in Jesus as the Messiah. These guys are shaking it up. And I love this in chapter 3 of the Acts of the Apostles, because remember now, we're going to look at Peter and John entering into the temple. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Jewish men, Jewish women are there in different places in the temple. Nonetheless, they're all there. There's even Gentiles present. And this is the place that just, 2 months earlier, whatever the timing is here, was where the bad news happened. And they were filled with a lot of fear. Peter had his moment. Judas has his moment. The apostles had their moments, being gripped by fear, traumatized by what was going on. And these are different men. They are changed. They are transformed. This is what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit gives us new life, new power, new capacity to live a new way of life, to come into the promises of God. And these men are living it. So let's dig into this. So this is Peter and John. This is again, Acts chapter 3, verse 1 following. Peter and John were going up to the temple area for the 3 o'clock hour of prayer. So they're good. They continue to be good Jewish men. They're going for the daily rhythm of prayer. And a man crippled from birth was carried and placed at the gate of the temple called the Beautiful Gate every day to beg for alms from people who entered the temple. So he was there for years. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. But Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and he said, "Look at us." He paid attention to them, expecting to receive something from them. Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, I give to you." This is, to me, this is like a beautiful moment of what Catholic life ought to look like. These are the apostles that we're following. They're the teachers. They learned from Jesus. He watched them. They watched him. He watched them. He trained them. But it wasn't until they really opened themselves and were able to receive the power of the Holy Spirit that they received the confidence and then the fulfillment of what Jesus said, "The Holy Spirit will I'll send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will give you the words to speak." Guess what? That promise is for everybody who's a believer. We don't all have the same responsibilities. We don't all have the same particular vocation in the Lord that Peter and John had or the apostles today have, the bishops and others, but we all share in this work of the Holy Spirit that's moving. Remember, we're living in the Trinitarian missions of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. "For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son. So it began in the heart of a loving Father. Go, go." And the Son went, the obedient Son in love. And he did what we're celebrating right now. And he, because of what he did, he was able to sit at the right hand of the Father and pour out the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is on mission. He's the first proclaimer, you could say, or the first a missionary in the church is the Holy Spirit animating, filling us with a new power, just like Jesus said. And he's giving the words and he's giving them to Peter here. Beautiful line. Peter's not rich. He doesn't have a lot of money. He said, "But what I have, I give you." So Peter knows what he's got. Do you know what you have? Do you know what it means to be filled by the Holy Spirit? And did you know the Spirit wants to work through you for the sake of the salvation of others? And through me, we can broken people like us. Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, rise and walk." That's a word of command. That's a man filled with faith and authority in the Lord. Remember, this is the same Peter who denied 3 times even knowing Jesus. He was afraid. He acted cowardly in the moment. I'm not saying it with force because I would have done any better. I'm just saying this is the same man. And now he's standing in the same location with new authority, new clarity, and he's walking in a whole new level of faith and confidence in the Lord. Then Peter took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles grew strong. He leaped up. He stood and walked around and went into the temple with them, walking and jumping and praising God. There's another translation I like a little better, walking and leaping and praising God. Now imagine, the temple is full of people who habitually have been coming every day, praying the liturgical rhythm in the temple, and this commotion is happening. This man, who everybody pretty much probably at least had seen at some point, some people maybe knew him, talked to him, maybe they'd given him alms over the years. And the shocking reality, here he is, the man who couldn't even walk is now walking and leaping, and he's out praising God out loud. He's giving glory to God. I also think about, I think it's Psalm 34 or 45, "Come glorify the Lord with me. Together let us exalt his name." This is what he's doing. He's glorifying the Lord. He's exalting his name because of what God has done for him. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the one who used to sit begging at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with amazement and astonishment at what had happened to him. Like, there it is. When the works of God happen, when the grace of God is revealed like that, wonder, awe, astonishment, conviction, all kinds of things happen in people. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. As the crippled man who had been cured clung to Peter and John, all the people hurried in amazement toward them. The word spread like crazy in the portico. The people all stopped what they were doing, and the whole crowd came, probably hundreds of men and women. When Peter saw this, he got scared and ran. He remembered what a bad experience he had a few months earlier, and he wanted to avoid it. No, this is a new man. This is a new creation. This is courage in him. This is the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit about to give, fulfill what Jesus said. In moments like this, the Holy Spirit will give you the words to speak. And here's what Peter says. You children of Israel, why are you amazed at this? And why do you look so intently at us as if we had made him walk by our own power or our piety? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over. Now, here he is, Peter saying, this isn't us. It's not my power. And this isn't happening because I glow in the dark with holiness. I'm talking about the one who's greater than our greatest fathers. Jesus who's been glorified by God our Father. The one that you handed over and denied in Pilate's presence. Look at the courage in him. He's telling it like it is. They don't want to hear this. He's putting part of the responsibility at their feet. And he said when he had decided to release him, this is what happened. He said, you denied the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You put to death the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and of this we are witnesses. There is the heart of the gospel. That's called the kerygma. This is the central truth that's not being explained, it's being declared. This is a truth, a fact of history that Peter declares under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Let me say it again. Look at the courage he has. He looks them right in the eye, this big crowd. You denied the holy and righteous one. That's Jesus. You asked that a murderer be released to you instead. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and of this we are witnesses. And by faith in his name, this man whom you see and know, his name made strong, and the faith that comes through it has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. It's faith in the name. This is the message. How do people come to salvation? With faith in the name. But how will they come to faith if they have not heard? And how will they hear if it's not preached? Friends, we have dynamite. We have the words of salvation. All of us ought to know this simple way in which Peter is speaking and be able to speak with others. He said, now I know, brothers and sisters, you've acted out of ignorance just as your leaders did, but God has thus brought to fulfillment what he had announced before through the mouth of the prophets, that his Christ would suffer. Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be wiped away. There it is, repent and believe. Brothers and sisters, hope you can join me tomorrow. Let's continue this conversation.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future, and it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.